Okay, so we're back now and looking at the life of Saint Peter. You know, where we first see him chronologically is when his brother Andrew finds Christ and goes back and tells Peter. And Peter goes to see. So he wants to be with God. He desires God. But he doesn't follow blindly. He is interested in seeing, you know, is this person who you say he is? So he starts off with, you know, enough wisdom to not just blindly assume that who he thinks he's following is who he's following. Then this doesn't really have specifically to do directly with St. Peter, but then in most of the synoptics, in all the synoptics, you see the story of Peter's mother-in-law. Somebody tell me what that story is.
Pick up her hand, and then she serves
them. Right. Okay. So Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. Jesus Christ comes and heals her, and she responds by getting up and serving. And the point here is that the reason that God heals us is so that we can serve him, so that we can be full of love for him and for each other. You know, when the charioteer starts getting his vision correct, it's not so he can go joyriding, it's so he can go in the direction that he is supposed to go, which is towards God, which is to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Okay, now, in Luke 5, I have verses 1 through 11, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. This is the first miraculous draught of fish. Who remembers that story? It's when the catch of fish, when the first time that the disciples catch a miraculous catch of fish. So, right.
Okay.
Right. And so who remembers what Peter says first? That's not what he said first. What he said first was what you just said. Well, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything, but at your word. You know, and so Peter's already showing a good bit of wisdom. He realizes, okay, this is outside the normal way things would go, but he already has enough trust in Christ that he's willing to see with his eyes and not completely with his own. So then they do what they're told to do, and the net basically begins to break, and they have tons and tons of all different kinds of fish in there. And that's when Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And do you remember what Christ says to him? He says, "Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men." And then what did they do? Yeah, I think they might have already brought in the fish, but they forsake all and follow him. Okay, so the interesting thing about Peter's coming face to face with holiness is that he knows that holiness and unholiness don't mix well. But what doesn't he do? He tells Christ to depart, but what doesn't he do himself? He doesn't leave. So there's this recognition of I am sinful, and sinfulness cannot endure to be around holiness. But he bears the discomfort of the holiness of God. And if we are going to live our Christian lives, we're going to find that we have to bear the discomfort of people being holier than we are, and of God's pure holiness. You know, most of us have had the experience where we were just being a pain in the neck, and we just wanted to be a pain in the neck, and somebody had the temerity to be kind and loving and sweet in the face of it. And it makes you so mad, because I have to, you know, take a good solid look at myself and see what an idiot I'm being, or I have to push that holiness away. And so Peter, early on, is feeling this. He knows he's not holy. He knows at some level that Christ is holy, but he stays. You know, and then that goes really nicely into the discourse from the sixth chapter of John about when Christ has started talking about, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And so what happened after he started talking that way? Who remembers? What happened to his disciples? A lot of them left. Right, yeah. So a lot of the disciples left. So Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks them what? You're right. And who answers for them?
Peter.
And what does Peter say? Yeah, Lord, where will we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so at this point, their nooses were not 100% clear, but they were clear enough that they realized that even though they didn't understand what was going on, they were in the one place where they needed to be. And they were with, most importantly, they were with the one person that they needed to be with. And so when things are confusing to our rational minds, and they often will be, we know that we need to stay next to Christ, whether we can explain why we need to or not. Because to some level, we have experienced that he does have the words of life, because he is life and he is the Word, and he is the Holy One of God. You know, as an illustration sort of this concept, there's a little girl who got lost at an amusement park, and she was actually with her family, and they were at a food kiosk, you know, sort of a round one with a bunch of different cash registers around it. And so she looked up and didn't see her family. And she panicked and didn't remember what they had told her, what her parents had told her to do if she ever got lost in the amusement park, which was to go to the office and have them, you know, page her parents. And so in her panic, she just ran around, you know, letting her fear take over, and couldn't remember what she was supposed to do. You know, so what do we do when we're in a situation like that? It's like you stay where your parents told you to stay, and you don't panic because you know that they love you and that they're at least powerful enough to know where the office is and come get you. You know, And if I do panic, then hopefully at some point, in this particular girl's situation, what actually happened was that she ran into some neighbors. And the neighbors pointed her, like, you know, well, go to the office and have them page your parents. So it's like, if I'm running around in a panic, you know, then I can come to somebody who's, you know, my brother or sister in Christ, my neighbor, who can help me remember what it was that my father told me to do in the first place. So I'm always going to come, often at any rate, going to have things in my life that I don't understand. But I need to keep reminding myself, you know, of what God has told me to do. Some of you have read C.S. Lewis, The Silver Chair, and remember how he keeps telling the kids, go over it and go over it and go over it. Here are the signs, because they're not going to look exactly like you think. So, you know, don't forget to go over the signs. Does that mean that if they had gone over the signs, they would have understood everything that was going on? No. But what it did mean is they would have had a better chance of actually recognizing the signs if they had kept going over them. And so that's why we, you know, keep going over what God has told us to do, and why we remember, especially the, you know, the areas of our lives that we have trouble with, to keep going over what God has told us to do, so that if we get lost, you know, we're used to listening to him and going, oh, wait, yeah, he told me, you know, to, when I get lost here, to go do this. So and I think that's important, because in our culture, we think we have to have a rational explanation for everything. And that's not to say that there aren't rational explanations for a lot of things, but I don't need every rational explanation for everything. What I mostly need is to be listening to my father, to have his voice in my ear over and over and over. So it's like, ah, yeah, he told me that if I ever got in this mess, you know, go do this. Okay, so that's what I had to say about that. Now we're moving to Peter walking on the water. This time around in reading this, what really struck me was his whole reason for wanting to walk on the water was so that he could do what? He wanted to be with Christ. He didn't say, like, that's the coolest thing ever. Can I come out and go water walking with you? I mean, it was like, can I come be with you? And when he took his eyes off of Christ, that's when he floundered. But, you know, Christ saved him. You could go on each of these little stories, and unfortunately there's not time. But I think one aspect for us to realize here is if we want to do miracles for miracles' sake, we're missing the point. But God will give us the grace to do whatever is necessary to come to him. And whether that means walking on water, or whether it means walking through a volcano, or whether it means, you know, being martyred, if we want to come to him, he is more than capable of giving us the grace to do it and to help others to do it too.